From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive today, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We are here with episode number 2. We appreciate those of you who have encouraged us from episode number 1 through social media, and we are thankful for all the kind and wonderful things, or just the people who've listened. We appreciate you so very much for listening. And if you've not listened to episode 1, Leah and I just took the time to introduce ourselves and let you know what we're planning here for the podcast for the upcoming weeks and hopefully months and maybe even beyond that. Leah, in our first podcast, we just kind of talked about ourselves and A Legacy of Faith, the website and the podcast. But for this first, whatever we want to call it, informational or episode, we wanted to take some time not to reintroduce that, but to sort of talk about the basis of this whole legacy idea and where that came from.
Well, it comes from us over the last year or so having more of a desire to pass down thoughts and ideas and values to our children instead of just hoping for the best and hoping they turn out right. We want to instill in them, of course, spiritual ideas and things that are important to us and pass down scripture and teach them to love and serve God. But it's really more than that, too, as far as passing down our own personal family values. And that has just become more and more important to us as our children are getting older.
So we're calling this second episode Connecting Kids to a Family Heritage. And as you said, this is something you and I have been talking about, thinking about for a long time. But just to sort of illustrate where we're coming from here, we want to tell you a little personal story. Back in April of 2013, so about a year and a half ago, I was holding a gospel meeting in South Georgia, Columbus, Georgia. During the day, they had me sometimes recording TV programs or teaching Bible classes. But other than that, they said, hey, go enjoy the area. And so we took some little family outings and another family in that area, the Dixons, that we got to know really well. We enjoyed some time with them. And one of the outings we went on was to the National Infantry Museum, which is just spectacular. It's like free, I think, or basically free.
It was.
Down in the basement, or the lower part of that building, there's a display there of some of the service medals that are given to soldiers. And in that display, of course, is the Purple Heart. And I don't know how many soldiers have received Purple Hearts over the years, but I would guess it's in the thousands, if not a whole lot more than that. And one of those is my mother's dad, my Grandpa Turner. And some of you hearing that are going, wait a minute, that name sounds awfully familiar. Well, our son, Turner, is named after my mother's maiden name. He's named after his grandfather, Turner. And we've told him that before. And then he sees this Purple Heart there, and we tell them that your Grandpa Turner earned a Purple Heart. We explain what that meant, that he had been injured in World War II, and just a little bit of the story, you know, for he could kind of draw a comparison and understand what that meant. And yeah, nearly every family has something like that in their family history. They go, hey, here's a neat family story. But you saw a couple of months later, about 3 months later or so, at Cousins Camp, and hopefully in the future we'll have a podcast about what Cousins Camp is, but at Cousins Camp where my sister brings their 3 children and you bring our 2 children to my parents' house for a whole weekend, there was an evening where you saw that little story and that passing down of that event really had stuck in Turner's mind.
It had. We had a family devotional one night while we were there for the Cousins Camp, and Grampy, Adam's dad, wanted each of the children, some who were younger and some who were a little bit older, to speak about what family meant to them, because there again, Jim and Donna, Adam's parents, have had a desire too to strengthen their family's values even through their grandchildren and wanted them to spend more time together. So even that played into this, the whole idea of a cousin's camp. But so anyway, Jim wanted each of the children to say, what does family mean to you? And most of them were saying just what you might imagine a child at that particular age would say. But then it was Turner's turn, and he started and he said, well, what family means to me? And then he looked at me and said, and you know what I'm going to say. And I actually didn't.
You were actually kind of worried.
Yes. And so he said, there was a man who fought in a war for us, and I'm named after him, and that's what family means to me. And we all, after we wiped our tears, just sat in awe that he made such a connection. Not only that he remembered the story and remembered about his Grandpa Turner enough to even to come up with that at that point, but that he also connected that with that's what family meant to him. It was this connection of people that, you know, this man who he had never even met, and he knew that Grandpa Turner was part of who he was and played such a huge part into who he is and who our family is. And so that's just an amazing story. I thought we were just so impressed.
It's amazing what children pick up and how they can make those connections. Sometimes we may think they can't, but we thought that story kind of just illustrated where we're going with this. And we want to divide this podcast today into just a couple of parts. In the first few minutes, we want to talk about three reasons why it's important to try to pass this heritage on or connect kids to the family heritage. And obviously, you can think of a whole lot of other reasons, but these are three that we think are very important and three that just kind of came to mind as we were preparing for this. And the first, you sort of mentioned or hinted at, I should say, in telling that story. The first reason this is important is because it builds a trust in the stability of the family or of the family unit. You know, as you said, Turner had never met his grandfather Turner. His grandfather Turner was dead and before he was born, and so he never met him. But we talk about him enough, and he hears stories enough that he can, even in his little mind at that age, this has been, what, last year, so he'd been like, I guess, six at that time.
Six.
He was able to think about the fact there's someone back there that's in my family. And so you have this stability in the fact that it's not just mom and dad and us, although that's important, but there's a stability of generations and a stability of the name and all of those things that's built into the children's mind. And I love that we chose that word stability here.
It shows children that there's something beyond them, that they have a history that goes back even farther than they can imagine. And that also, I think, in teaching them that their history, not really history, but that their future, they can, once, especially as they get older, maybe not as young as our children are now, but as they get older, they start to realize that all these stories that I hear about my family, these people that I'm not sure and I'm not even met, these kind of stories will be told about me one day. And I think it helps them, really, it helps ground a child that they know that there's something beyond them that goes backwards and then even goes forwards.
I was thinking as you were talking there about how often in the Old Testament you see their history recited, but I was thinking about how often when you have them telling, you know, these stories about the Red Sea and all these other things, but it's described so often as our fathers did this or your fathers did this. It's not just those folks back then did this. They were telling something about their family, and some of it was good and some of it was bad, but it was reminding them, like you said, there's been something here. There's been this heritage for at that time when some of those things were passed down generation after generation after generation. And I love how you worded that. It reminds them that, you know, the world doesn't rotate around them. You know, the Earth's axis does not go through their own head. There's something here before them, and if the Lord tarries, there'll be something here after them. And so that's one reason it's important, is to build that stability in the family unit, not just among mom, dad, and the kids, as we often say, but intergenerationally, you know, beyond themselves. Another reason why it's important, we think, to connect kids to their family heritage is that they can learn and be shown character traits that they can emulate from people in their own family. And these may be, you know, a grandparent that they know because their grandparents are still alive. It may be a great-grandparent or an aunt or an uncle they know because they're still alive. But it also could be someone they've never met because they're several generations back, but something heroic or something biblical or just a great character trait that you say, here's something in someone in your family that showed humility or showed courage or showed love or showed commitment or whatever, that they'll then want to emulate because, hey, that's my great-grandmother or that's my aunt or whatever it is.
And if you're speaking of those character traits and building the heritage up around your child as they get older, if you think about it, how much more would that encourage them to live a very dignified life or a very spiritual life if they know that what do they want people to think of them, you know, years, even centuries later? What would it be, and what are the things that they would like to be known for? And I would imagine as a child gets older that would be something that would help them possibly make better choices in their young lives, especially, and even in their adult lives.
Absolutely. But you think back in your family, is everybody in the family history perfect? No, because, well, you're in it. You know, we're going to make mistakes. But it's amazing how often families pass down sometimes stories, but sometimes just, hey, Grandpa so-and-so or great-great-grandpa so-and-so was just the hardest worker there ever was. And just those little things that children hear and they think, that's in my family history. Somebody was a hard worker, or someone stayed married for 60 years even though they went through all these horrible times. And they begin just to build that into them, and they know whether they've ever met these people or not, they still respect them because they're in the family. And so they find those character traits. Obviously, we need to take them to Scripture and show them here's who Moses was or who Jesus was or who David was. But there's also something very special to a kid about knowing, you know, my great-grandfather was just like that, or my great-uncle or whoever was just like that. And it begins to build in them a little bit, I think, a little more realness to some of these character traits. And so far we've talked about it's important to connect your kids to their family heritage because they build that stability in the family unit, and they have these character traits they can emulate. And then a third reason why we think this is important, and this is a little more practical, but I think, and some of you may know, I majored in history in college. That's one reason I say I'm so boring. But it's a way to teach real history. Man, you get kids into stories in history and you've got them. If you say, read chapter 7, they're going to go to sleep. But you say, hey, let me tell you about your grandfather who fought in World War II. Or let me tell you about your aunt who was a nurse in the Korean War. Or let me tell you about your great-grandparents who went through the Great Depression. And those kids are drawn in because now it's real. It's in their own family history that this event, this awful circumstance, this great victory, or whatever occurred.
Right, and especially if they, like you said, especially know the people, then even those people in history that they didn't know, it really puts a human factor into all of those things that happened long ago, if you're to also, along with that, telling them about possibly people that you have heard about that they, you know, maybe a more personal connection to all of those people. Just like you mentioned with World War II, it'd be one thing to talk about World War II and read it from a book, but then to be able to speak of some things that actually happened that you heard from your grandpa, that is a whole different story right there to make history come alive.
In our notes we had together, I actually put in parentheses beside this one, everybody loves a true story. And I think it's even more true if you know the person.
And along these lines, too, it can also really teach kids about not just maybe historical things, but maybe ways of life long ago. We are working in the first week of school on a little history project where the kids are supposed to interview family members and find out about them, especially things maybe when that person was a child. And this is something that I remembered as we were talking to my mother. She mentioned, one of the questions is, what was one of your favorite memories? And she mentioned one of her favorite memories was centered around a doll. And she had that doll.
She had a doll.
And had no hair. She specifically mentioned that, but she loved that doll. And, you know, I've thought about that, and I've thought, how meaningful is that, especially if I take the time to talk to Mary Carroll about the difference in little girls then who had a doll, and how, you know, we might use the word blessed, although more and more I wonder sometimes if it really is a blessing to have so many dolls that when she looks back, will she think of that one doll, you know, because she has so many. And, you know, even that, things were different, and especially things were different maybe in different families, but even just when you think about going back in time, customs and traditions, how they are different.
You know, one of the things I want to mention here before we go to the second part of this is we've been trying to talk about, I think unintentionally, you know, grandparents or aunts or uncles or great-grandparents or whatever. Neither one of us has ever been a person that, you know, goes to Ancestry.com and tries to figure out, you know, 700 years ago who was in our family. That might be interesting to do. And I've told you this story, of course, Leah, but when I was student teaching, the students in the class I was in had to do a family history project, which I never really figured out because I was student teaching in an English class. But they had to do a family tree. And this was an 8th grade class, I believe, 7th or 8th grade. And one of the girls raised her hand and said, my mother or aunt or somebody has been doing this for years. I'd like to show you what she's done. He said, okay, sure. And this girl, for whatever grade it was, 7th or 8th grade, was very tall. In fact, she's almost as tall as I am. And she brought this in a few days later and stood up and held out a piece of paper and just let it go, you know, keeping a corner of it in her hand. And this piece of paper fell all the way to the floor. Her grandmother, or whoever it was, aunt or whoever it was, had traced her family history back to Charlemagne. And I was sitting there going, okay, that's impressive. You know, that took a lot of work. But we're not talking about even going back that far. If you want to, that's great. If you're kind of a genealogy buff or a family tree buff, that's fantastic. But you have stories in your family history, even if you don't know anything past your grandparents or your great-grandparents. You have great family stories. So don't worry about having to dig forever to try to find these things. Just think of memories. Like you said, that doll, that's not a big deal, but it is to our little girl. Because it shows, here's someone she knows. She knows her grandmother. She may not know a great-grandmother, but she knows her grandmother. And just to make that connection, that wasn't that long ago. And that wasn't uncommon for right. then to have those kind of differences. So again, why is it important to this? You can think of all sorts of reasons. We mentioned it builds trust in the stability of the family unit. It shows those character traits from people they know and respect, they can emulate. And then it's a great way to teach real history, just a way to really let them see that people really did live back then, but they lived differently, or get them into those stories. Now, let's transition, Lee, in the second part of our time here. We'll probably go a little bit shorter on this, but just some practical steps that families can take to try to make this connection. And again, these are countless, or endless, the list could be, but since we had three in the first part, let's do three in the second part. Just three practical ways that you can start, even today, trying to connect your kids to their family heritage. Number one, and this may seem really obvious, but not enough families do it, talk about family history when the kids are around. How often at Christmas time or Thanksgiving do we send the kids away and then the adults sit there and talk about their family history? Man, let the kids hear those stories.
Right, and you know, and first of all, you have to know about your family history.
That's a good point.
You know, the story about my mom and her favorite doll, who was named Polly, by the way, I had never heard that. I didn't know this. And so I sat there in just such a, I was excited in a way, but I thought, I wish I would have known all of this. And I was so glad that just through this assignment that really was given to me by a teacher book, not because I came up with this idea myself, but just how blessed I was at the end by even knowing one or two additional things about my mother. And I don't know, that was just amazing. But find out yourself about things so you can talk to your children about your family history.
But how often do we think, you know, kids will find this stuff boring. They don't want to hear it. And you know what? For some kids, that's true. Some kids may find it boring, but they're still listening, whether we want to give them credit for it or not. And we're not saying that every time your family's together, sit around for 9 consecutive hours telling stories of family history. But if you're going to sit around and tell stories about grandma or an uncle or whatever, let the kids in. Let them hear. And let them just, if nothing else, and this may seem silly, but if nothing else, they at least hear the names. And they at least get to hear, hey, there really was a Grandpa Turner, there really was a Grandpa Fawn, or whatever. And they get to see that there was someone back then, and we really respect that person, and we're really learning from them, or whatever. So don't be afraid, and in fact, I would say intentionally, talk about those family history and those stories when the children are around. That's number one. And number two, you're going to go, wait a minute, you just told us not to do this. Well, not really. I said you don't have to do this. But a second way to make this connection practically is, if your children are old enough, work on a little family tree. But even more than that, gather stories. Let the kids, like you're doing in this little project, let the kids be the investigators. You don't have to go back like this student of mine did to Charlemagne, whenever he lived, what, in the 600s or whatever, 700s or whenever he lived. But even if you just go back 3 or 4 generations, let them be the ones to interview their grandparents or an uncle they really are close to or whatever, and just let them gather a little story. And I think it's cool, and I put this in the notes, let them gather information about maybe someone that's kind of lesser known in the family, you know, that brother-in-law that was always really quiet, but who knows what kind of cool kid he was when he was little. Let them get those little stories. Let them be the investigators.
I think, even though I know Adam just mentioned, you know, you wouldn't have to write this down, but to be able to have a written, something special and written out, you know, a long time ago, and maybe still today, that I don't think they're as common. People used to have these big family Bibles, and
they're like cinder blocks.
A large section of it was dedicated to a family history. It had mm-hmm. people's marriage dates, their birth dates. It had baptism dates, all the things that people wanted to remember. And, you know, I think we ought to do that more, just to have that written, those written documents that just established, so to speak, that this is our history, and these are the people in our family and their special dates in their life. And I just think that would be great to
do that more.
Of course,
you know, being in a Bible, being Christians, that's a cool way. But even if you don't do it in the Bible, just have it written somewhere.
Right.
That's special, you know, not just stored away in a drawer somewhere, but somewhere that's important. But let your kids be involved in that investigative process. You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know names in my family history much past, you know, a couple of generations ago. But let the kids help find those things out. That's number two. Number three, a practical way to connect, and this will be the last one we talk about. And this, since we're Christians, the Christian podcast, always, 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 is that enough times? Incorporate biblical high points or biblical victories in the stories. Who in the family was a Christian? Where were they baptized? I was having a meeting lately with some guys. I'm on the board of Kyle Publications. We were sitting around before we started meeting, and one of the guys on the board was saying they had just gotten back from vacation. And one of the things they had done, his dad is a preacher, and one of the things they had done is traveled to where his parents got married. His parents went with them, where they got married, where they went on their honeymoon, and some things like that. But then also, he said, we went to the first church he ever preached for. It's just neat mm-hmm. little things like that. You know, they're just little. Somebody said, well, that's just silly. No, it's not, because that's a high point spiritually in that family history. You know, maybe you take a trip back to where you were baptized, or where your grandparents were baptized, or where they were married, or just these biblical spiritual high points where you can show them something. And whether you travel there or not, make sure you incorporate those things into the stories, not just the war, you know, not just Great right. Depression, you know, those kind of things, but also that there's a spiritual family heritage here that needs to be passed down and incorporated into these stories.
Right.
Those are just some practical, simple things. And again, the list is endless. We try to come up with three. They're kind of generic and general, but three practical ways you can incorporate and try to teach your family heritage to your children. Again, talk about it when the kids are around. Don't wait till they're away. That's number one. Number two, work on a family history or a family tree, but let them investigate some of the stories to be found there. And then number three, make sure you always include the spiritual victories or the spiritual high points in your storytelling and in your family history. Leah, before I give the usual sign-off stuffs or anything else you'd like to add before we finish up the topic for this time's podcast?
No, I think that I have said enough, probably. Maybe too much. Something that's just been really more and more on my heart, and I don't know why. It's just something that I'm wanting to instill into my kids. Maybe I think it's because they're just getting older, and maybe old enough to start understanding some things. They're not babies anymore.
And we're seeing, as you said, as we began with that story, we're starting to see them make some of those connections, and that
right.
really touches our hearts as well to want to make sure that we help them fill in those gaps, to fill in as many stories as we possibly can. We hope this has been very encouraging to you. We've enjoyed this podcast. This is one that's fun, and we hope it lets you know a little bit more about our heart behind A Legacy of Faith, the entire website, but also this podcast. We do want to ask you to sign up for subscribe to the podcast through iTunes or through RSS or however you do that. If you subscribe through iTunes, make sure you take a moment to give us a rating and review. That would help us out a lot, and share the word about the podcast. We also want to ask you if you have a cool story. This is a call to action, Leah. If you have a story about how a child in your family connected with someone in the family history, if you have one of those stories, leave a comment on the show notes. You can find those at fawnfamily.com/2. fawnfamily.com/2. And you can just leave a comment there. We would greatly appreciate that. If you don't leave a comment, you'd rather send us an email. You can email us at fawnlegacy@gmail.com. That's fawnlegacy@gmail.com. We'd also appreciate your emails there. If you have ideas about the show itself, about ideas for future programs, we want to let you know that next week's program, it will be next week, actually, August the 21st, it's scheduled to be released. We'll have our first guest with us. Chad Landman will be joining us, and he'll be talking about kids and smartphones, and he has some great research and information to share with you on that topic about kids and smartphones. And then Leah and I will be back with you in the month of September on episode 4. But we are excited about being back with you again next week for episode 3 with Chad. And thank you so much for listening to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast.